Welcome to the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. To stay connected, go to revivaltoday.com. And now, here is Evangelist Jonathan.
I want you, if you have your Bibles, open them with me to Psalm 37. Okay, apparently someone doesn't like Psalm 37. Let's do Psalm 38. All right, more agreeable. Psalm 37. Two New Year's Eves ago, we gave the prophetic word for the year, which is the righteous shall possess the land. And 22 days later, we were given 24.8 acres of property in that year. Then this year, on New Year's Eve, going into this year, I went to get the theme from the Lord and basically felt in my spirit that nothing's changed, that this is going to be a three-year run. So we named it, sounds like you're just being lazy, but the theme for the year was the righteous shall possess the land too. And there's land development going on and things that I'll talk to you about within the next month. But then there's a broader meaning to that. I almost changed our billboard that's on the interstate to say the righteous will possess the land just to, as a marker for what's going to happen this year. Now we're already a quarter of the year done, and you can see that the righteous, if I was a wicked person, I would be very discouraged tonight because you almost can't find what, I don't know if you saw the news interview that I did on Good Friday when they had us on Real America's Voice, which even that's a sign of the righteous possessing the land. You know, when they have you on and ask you to be on for a whole hour on a secular news station and then to please lead the viewers in the sinner's prayer to receive Christ, that I don't know if that was ever a thing in America, even when you think back to the 80s or whatever you think the glory time of America was. Everything evangelist Tim Hall said is exactly how I feel in my spirit, that 2020 through 2023 was a three-year assault of the devil against the world and in the United States. And that failed. The plan was supposed to be that you were not allowed to go to work, all church shut down, all work shut down, and then you had to get the vaccine to reintegrate into society, and they were going to put people on universal basic income while their jobs were shut down and basically introduce communism that way. And it all failed. Americans fought against that. I'm talking about in America now. I know we have people watching all over the world. Now it has failed globally. And my Uncle Ted was preaching, who Evangelist Tim knows, and you know, because I've had him here to preach many times. He was preaching the night, it was the week before the Supreme Court ruling was going to go down as to whether you had to be vaccinated or not. And people forget, and they forget to give glory to God, that it looked like they were going to rule in favor of the vaccine mandates, which would mean on the heels of that, that OSHA had the ability to go into any business that had 99 employees or more, and they already had plans to lower it to 30 employees or more, which is the loss of private property. If the government has permission to come into your building anytime you want, religious, business, you don't have a free nation anymore. The only thing that separates a free nation from a communist nation is private property. And so that got ruled against. The week before that happened, my Uncle Ted was preaching in Rowlett, Texas. And he said, I was praying this afternoon, and the Lord showed me a dark, evil figure that was over the United States of America. And I said, what is that, Lord? And he said, the Lord said, that's the principality that's been over America since 2015. And then he said, as he watched, a shaft of light came down from heaven and hit that thing, and it burned up. And the Lord said, see, now I've destroyed that principality that's over America. And now that darkness is going to lift. And now there'll be regional principalities that have to be fought against. I told you it was going to be a little bit of a different service. So if you look shocked, that's your fault. I told you we're not just going to pass out communion and go home. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen the rest of this year. So while everybody else is getting shocked, you can just nod your head and eat your turkey sandwich. Amen. Everybody said, God knows the end from the beginning. And the Bible says that God doesn't do anything without revealing it to his servants, the prophets. And if you keep reading the Bible, he doesn't just reveal it to prophets. Abraham wasn't a prophet. Abraham wasn't a priest. There wasn't a priesthood. Abraham was a friend of God. When you spend time with God, God's spirit speaks to you concerning things that are to come. It's why I knew to take the route that I did during COVID. You know, it's kind of irritating to hear preachers say, well, no one knew what was going on at the time, so we did shut down for a year. No, you didn't know because you don't listen. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown was shouting to anybody who would hear what the Lord showed him. This is an attempt. I was in a service at the river where he read from the Rockefeller papers that were passed out at the World Economic Forum that this was to introduce communism, that they were going to do rolling lockdowns, give people 3 weeks to be free, lockdown again. That was in April of 2020, telling the whole plan ahead of time. And people didn't listen. But if you listen to people, if you listen to the Holy Ghost, or if you don't have that ability developed yet, you can do the next best thing, which is just to get close to people who do hear the voice of God and have a proven track record. Everybody say a proven track record. I listen to my Uncle Ted. He has a proven track record. You know, it's astounding to me how many people are willing to risk 40 years of ministry credibility over the eclipse on April 8th. I want to hear a prediction from me. April 9th will still be right here. The rapture is not going to take place on April 8th, okay? I'm going out on a limb and telling you that right now. I feel like even if the rapture was going to take place April 8th, God would be so tired of listening to the morons making predictions, he'd say, let's push it back a day just to mess them up. Can you say amen? Amen. Yeah, but did you hear they're closing down all the roads that day? Yeah, do you think it's because of some great conspiracy, or maybe they don't want somebody driving 50,000 tons of concrete to say, I'm looking at that thing anyway, and then kill an entire town? So, yeah, there are people that say ridiculous things about what God told them about a certain date or an eclipse or the fourth blood moon or whatever. And the devil makes sure those people get time, because the more you hear that, then it deadens you and you start hearing people say stuff like this. That's why I don't listen to people that call themselves prophets. Well, mission accomplished in your life from Satan, because there are prophets. The Bible says there's five ministry gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. These are for the work of the ministry and the perfecting of the saints till we're all built up into the full stature of Christ. And so the Bible says in the book of Acts that Agabus, who was a prophet, predicted by the Spirit of a famine that was going to come, which took place during the reign of Claudius, and the church got ahead of it. They knew what was going to happen, and they got ahead of it. The Bible says, Jesus said, I will show you things that are to come. Say that with me. I will show you things that are to come. So there is, in when you spend time with God, I'm talking you, when you spend time with God, without trying, you'll start to know things by your spirit. Because the Bible says the spirit of man is the candlestick of the Lord. When you are not a flesh human being trying to live like God. You are a spirit being. The Bible says we were made in his image and in his likeness. When Adam sinned, God said, if you take that fruit, you'll die. So either God lied or he didn't lie. When he ate that fruit, his flesh didn't die. His spirit part died. There's no more communion of Adam in the cool of the day walking with God after that. Adam lost the ability to commune with God. He became a reactionary creature, which is how most people are still today and how most Christians still are today. Just hear news and react. But when the second Adam came, Christ, and undid and broke that curse, the thing that came back alive when a man becomes born again is the Bible says your spirit is alive unto God. And now, as many as are led by the Spirit, not apostles, not prophets, not pastors, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Everybody say believers. As many as want to, as many as allow themselves to be led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and daughters of God. Every Christian, by just them being born again, has the ability to hear God's voice. And God's voice doesn't speak about past things only or present things. God knows the future better than we know the past. So you'll find yourself, as you give time to the Bible, to praying in tongues. I'll give you an example of, like, without trying, how you can know the future. I had, when I worked for my father, a lady called from Bible college and had questions about divine healing. So my dad wasn't in the office, and the person that answered the phone gave the message to me. I was the only other minister there. That lady was a Dallas, The Lord had spoken to me when I got out of Bible school, Proverbs 24:27. Establish your business, then build your house. Don't look to get married now. Don't look to date now. You don't even have enough money for you to live. Establish your business, then build your house. When the Lord gave me that word, I put dating out of my mind and all that and just focused 100% on the ministry. When I hung up the phone, which was about 2 minutes, I answered her questions about healing. I got her address to send her T.L. Osborne's book, Healing the Sick, and hung the phone up. The second I hung the phone up, I heard the Lord speak to me just as clear. That is the woman I've prepared to be your wife. The dating was easy. The engagement was easy. The marriage has been easy. I knew from that point without trying. I wasn't praying for a wife. I had made up my mind, you know, I'm not touching it. I'm not even thinking about it. And the Lord told me, that's the woman that's going to be your wife. Well, what does that tell you? That tells you that that's the woman down the road you're going to marry. I went straight to my father's office, who had come back in, and I said, do you still have the number for that jeweler from Colombia that owns those diamond and ruby mines? He said, I do. He said, are you thinking about getting yourself a watch? I said, no, I was, but I'm going to get an engagement ring. My dad's eyes got very big. He said, engagement ring? I didn't even know you had a girlfriend. I said, I don't yet, but I will very shortly. That's called, see, when you know the end, you have confidence. You can ask Adonis. I didn't ask her out. I drove 4.5 hours down to where she was working in Massachusetts and slid a Red Bull across the counter. And I said, come with me. We have a long night ahead of us. And she said, let me tell my manager. And she came with me. We went out to dinner. Then we went to Dunkin' Donuts and talked till about 5 a.m. And I dropped her off at her house while her confused father was wondering where his daughter was and who this guy. You know, 5's not really the most reasonable time to drop somebody's daughter back off on the first day, especially when you're a preacher. But I was at Dunkin' Donuts in public. It was on video camera. So you could just see us talking and then one heroin addict in the bathroom coming in and out of consciousness in Boston. So everybody say, know the end from the beginning. Yeah, and then I started to order my steps accordingly. Now I knew. Now I started to plan ahead. I had the ring ordered before we went on the first date. Because as the Lord shows you things that are to come, you can take steps that aren't reactionary, they're proactive. For too long, Christians have just been, in fact, it's like the Christians are like the Republican Party of spirituality. They just wait for something bad to happen, say, can you believe what happened? And if it's the Republican Party, they say, can you chip in some money? If it's Christians, they say, can you keep us in prayer? We just found out we got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. We just found out they're going to take our property from us. We just found out some attack. Can we respond? When you're led by the Spirit, you don't respond to the devil. The devil has to respond to the acts that you're taking ahead of time. And that's the purpose of tonight. It's to put a mindset. I can't control all Christianity, nor do I have a desire to. But for the people that God has put into my care to pastor, this should be the most proactive, positive acting, not reactionary, not waiting for things to go wrong, making moves and putting the devil on the back foot. And I tell you right up front in the name of Jesus, the devil's going to be reacting to the movements you make from this day forward in Jesus' mighty name. If you receive that right at the beginning before we take communion, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. If you're watching online, this is grape juice and an unleavened bread. We're going to have communion at the end. I'm going to give you time. You can go on Uber Eats or DoorDash or whatever and order crackers and grape juice, but it needs to be crackers and grape juice. Charismatics are some interesting people. We didn't have any bread or grape juice, so can we use Reese's cups and Sprite? No, you can't. I'm telling you. Can you use Coke and Skittles? Nope. You're flirting with hell. So get grape juice. You should have it on hand anyway if you're a Christian. You don't have to wait till the first Saturday of the month to take communion. As often as you do it in remembrance of the Lord. Smith Wigglesworth did it every day. When we take that communion today, there's going to be something that happened the first year we started the church. How many remember the prophetic release service we did where we had everybody bring in their lawsuits or medical reports and lay them on the altar and then invoke the judgment of God against it? Anybody remember that? Well, we're going to do that again tonight with communion. And the same way, when they ate that unleavened bread and drink that grape juice. The Bible says that Pharaoh's hand was forced and judgment came against Pharaoh. Every remaining work of the devil against your life and against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, every delay against your life, everything you've been praying for that's been held back, this is what this meal is designed to do. It is a meal of release. God didn't release the Israelites from Egyptian captivity after a political rally. They took that bread and they took that juice, and when they did, God said, I will enact judgment against the gods of Egypt. The demon powers that were behind Pharaoh that were causing him to hold back what belonged to the children of God, God executed judgment that night. And the Pharaoh that said, I'll never let you go, said, please go quickly and bless me in the name of your God before you go. That's what tonight is. Tonight is your night of prophetic release in Jesus' name. If you believe that with me, can you say amen one more time? Somebody say out loud, the righteous shall possess the land. So here's the scripture the Lord gave us before we started the church. Psalm 37, verse 1. Don't worry about the wicked. Most Christians, all they're doing is worrying about the wicked. Did you know there's a principality in Pittsburgh, a demonic principality? I'm not worried about it. That principality should be worried about me. Why are you focused on demons? Can you say amen? Amen. Don't worry about the wicked, ever. Don't worry about the wicked. No part of your thought life, meditation, or speech should be concerned about the wicked. Did you hear what they said? The devil's very good at talking. He's very poor at execution. Goliath ran his mouth for 40 days and 40 nights. What happened when it was time to fight? He didn't have the capacity to carry out one thing he said. Did you hear what they're planning? Plan away. You can't curse what God has blessed. Can you say amen? Don't worry. Everybody say, don't worry about the wicked. And the Bible says, don't envy those who do wrong, for like grass, they'll soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they'll soon wither. Trust in the Lord. By the way, before we go off of that, wicked people, according to Psalm 37, verse 2, have a spiritual destiny attached to their life to wither and fade away and be gone forever. So when somebody stands on that side of the covenant, you don't have to worry about them. The Bible says, yeah, they're going to yell, they're going to rage. The Bible says they'll gnash their teeth when they see you prosper, but they're gone. If you choose to live against God and against God's church and against righteous people, you have a destiny attached to your life where things aren't going to work out. Things are going to go very poorly for you. Now, why do you think this church sent an ambulance to Israel? We didn't just say, Lord, how many of you know the Bible says to bless Israel? So let's just stretch our hands towards the east. We bless you, Jerusalem. No, tangible, practical things to bless Israel. You send a $140,000 ambulance packed with medical supplies. That's what we did. The next week, $1 million-something came in the next 8 days. Why? Because I made up my mind. I'm going to find out everything in that Bible that the Bible says there's a curse attached to it, and I'm not going to do any of it ever. Not some of it less. Any of it ever. Well, the Bible says you can't drink. List everything the Bible says about alcohol. Draw a line down the center. Mark positive things on one side and mark negative things on the other. And let me know what the list looks like. What the Bible says will happen to those that are given to strong drink. So again, I know, you know, if you drink, you should just smile right now because people can tell it's you if you frown too much. What I'm saying is I made a point from the time I was little. I've never had alcohol. Neither would you have if you grew up in my house. And I made up my mind, unlike a lot of my preacher friend kids, now that when I turn 21, I'm not going to start now, oh, now I'm going to get to do all the things my dad didn't let me do. No, I'm going to stay not doing ever the things the Bible says has a curse attached to it. And I'm not just that. See, that's what the Pentecostals would do that I grew up with. They knew smoking's bad, drinking's bad, having sex outside of marriage is bad, and it is. So they wouldn't do the negative things, but they also didn't realize, just like there's negative things that bring a curse, there's positive things that the Bible says when you do these things, they don't just elicit blessing, they guarantee blessing. Put a marker in Psalm 37 and turn to Malachi chapter 3. If you're a non-tither, I'm reading the second half of Malachi 3, so you can relax. Malachi 3. Malachi chapter 3. Verse 14. This scripture I'm about to read you is a foundation for tonight, and it's a foundation for the rest of your life. If you don't keep this ever in the forefront of your spirit, you're an easily manipulated, easily defeated person. Malachi 3, 14. God said, you've said, what's the use of serving God? And what have we gained by obeying his commandments? Or trying to show the Lord of hosts that we're sorry for our sins. I want you to notice something. God said, it's offensive to me when you say there's no reward for serving me. Well, what did you grow up in for church? How many know there, we might give up everything to follow him, but one day, oh, so God's up, oh, it's been a sacrifice for you to follow me. I'm very sorry. Please forgive me. Please feel free to do whatever you wanted to do. It bothered me that you told people there's no reward in following me. Do you want to know one secret to the extreme blessing you see in this ministry? When do you ever hear me talking hardship? When do you ever hear me complaining about how much time I'm away from my family? And I, you know, if I look a little tired on this Saturday night, you have to remember I've been preaching for six straight. You never hear it. In fact, I make a point to tell the Lord, I think you were with me the one time in the plane when we had been going flat out, two services a day for 3 weeks. We got back in the plane and I said, Father, just so you know, I'm not tired, and thank you for all the opportunities to preach the gospel, and thank you for this transportation. It's not a cost to serve the Lord. It's a joy and a great thing to serve the Lord. Whatever it costs you up front, the returns are priceless, and you're going to have great returns this year in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, can you shout aloud, amen? From now on, we'll call the arrogant blessed. For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Bet you didn't know that was a Bible verse. From now on, we'll call the arrogant blessed. For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Could you sum up where the country's at any better than that verse? How come those people, how come a politician that's anti-Israel, pro-abortion, anti-family, and anti-God can go to a table on Long Island and meet with people, eight people, and have 380 million kicked into their agenda in one night? And churches have to take 20 years to raise the money to get a down payment on a new building. Why is that? Because you said, I'm not interested in the reward. There's no reward. I reject it. I don't believe in the health. How many know I don't believe in the health and wealth gospel? Then enjoy sickness and poverty, you brain dead idiot. Death in life is in the power of the tongue. When you, whatever you speak against, you'll never have. Let me tell you something. I believe in the health and healing of God. I don't believe you can have it. I believe 2,000 years ago, the blood of Jesus was shed that I can be healed every day of my life. I don't take it lightly. I take it now. It's mine in Jesus' name. If you would pop 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 up on the screen. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. I'm still going to read out of Malachi 3. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. The same blood that took my sickness and disease, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, 9, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he was what? Yet for your sakes he became poor. For whose sake? That by his poverty, you, might be what?
Rich.
Yeah, you said it, not me. Rich. Not that by his poverty you could have your needs met, that by his poverty you could be rich. I don't believe in prosperity. Well, then you either are illiterate or you don't know how to interpret words. That's not up for interpretation. Secondly, let me ask you another question for anybody that knows the Bible. Is 2 Corinthians 8 and 9... If you take 8, 9 to say rich, meaning money, are you taking it out of context Or is chapter 8 and chapter 9 two chapters that are exclusively devoted to money? It's in context that, among other things, Christ shed his blood. Don't miss this. Was Adam poor in the Garden of Eden? Was he middle class? Or was the whole earth his? Was he sick? Was he on oxygen? Was he getting a bump checked on his skin to see whether it was cancer or not? No. He was healthy and he was wealthy. And what stole that? Sin. After he sinned, it had a twofold curse. Number one, you were going to live forever. Now you're not going to live forever. You're going to have problems with your body because you came out from under my plan. Secondly, from the dust of the ground and the sweat of your brow will you now eke out a living. The land produced for you for free. Everything flowed your way. Now it's going to be hard to make a living. Sickness and disease, poverty and lack. When Jesus came and shed his blood, did he deal with half the problem? Did he deal with none of the problem? Or did he deal with all of the problem? 3 John verse 2. Put that up on the screen. King James Version. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I would above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I would above all things. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of scriptures in this thing. When the Bible says above all things, it's worth paying attention to. Proverbs 4, above all else, guard your heart. For out of it flows everything you do. 3 John 2, brethren, beloved, I would above everything else that you prosper, that you what? And be in health. Having riches with no health, what's the point? That's where John Rockefeller was when he was 52. He was a very rich man and could have half a cracker and a little bit of milk every day and was dying. And he gave a bunch of money to his church's seminary they were building, and God raised him off the bed in a few months. So if you have no health and tons of money, what point is there? And if you have tons of health and no money, life's extremely frustrating. That's what it's like when you're 19. I want to go around the world, but I don't have enough money to get to downtown Pittsburgh. And so God, in his infinite wisdom that created man, gave an abundance of both. Life, health, and strength, and riches and wealth. That you not only have a body capable of doing great things, but you have access to a never-ending supply to get it done. This church is going to be full of people that have a never-ending supply to make a mark on planet Earth. You're not going to be waiting for some politician to do it. God has his hand on you for you to do it in Jesus' name. 3 John 2, put it up on the screen. Beloved, I wish above all things. Now, what book is this out of? Who wrote 3 John? Is this self-help material? Is this Dr. Phil, verse 2? Who wrote this? And who wrote it through John? Say it out loud. So the Holy Ghost said, if I had my way, you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Most churches teach you how to prosper in your soul and your mind and have peace and joy. That's important, equally important. But that's one third of what God gave you in your covenant. The same extent that your soul is to prosper in, there is to be a manifestation of that in your body, that your body is healthy as your soul is healthy. Everything coming against your body tonight, it comes under a divine curse. You leave this place healed in Jesus' mighty name. And the same way your soul prospers, there's to be a manifestation. The same way God prospers your soul, there's to be a manifestation of you prospering in the material realm. I've been listening to one idiot after another that's my age in the ministry bashing prosperity. I want to just say this on camera while my blood pressure's up. Anybody that's a preacher that says you don't believe in prosperity, I want you, I don't want one person to say it again until you also disclose what your salary is annually that you've negotiated for from your board of directors. You are one rank hypocrite to tell people you don't believe in prosperity making a six-figure salary, standing in a new suit with a several thousand-dollar watch on your wrist. You either don't know what prosperity is or you are a patent liar. I'm going to tell you right now, I have a salary that's very nice. I have nice vehicles. I have a jet. I'm not hiding that from anybody because I'm not here saying I don't believe in it. I believe in prosperity. I don't believe it's just for me. I believe it's for every man and woman that names the name of Jesus Christ and walks in covenant with God's word. It's wrong not to prosper. It's a disgrace to the covenant. It is a travesty. It is a hypocrisy for you to say that you serve God and you're having a harder time than the wicked are having. So first of all, let me just say this. You know, because I've been listening, people send me clips. And the people obviously watch me, and they're my age, and then they want to do a little rebuttal. You want to talk Bible? And you want to talk facts? Well, Paul didn't have prosperity. Paul was put in prison because of his faith. He wasn't put in prison because of his faith. He was put in prison because he lived in the Roman Empire where it was illegal to serve Jesus Christ. You can't be put in prison for that in America, you dummy. I have another question. When Paul was arrested and they were going to beat his back, and it was illegal for them to beat him, did he take the beating? Or did he say, sirs, is it legal for you to whip a Roman citizen without charge? I'm tired of it, man. These prosperity preachers always talk prosperity, but they never talk suffering. Let's talk suffering. Who kept their church open and went to prison in 2020 or got risk of prison? And which one of you people that are always talking suffering shut every one of your churches down for 2 years till the coast was clear? We were ready to suffer, and you were not. Don't talk to me about suffering, you phony, fake pastor. I don't believe in prosperity. I believe in suffering. Yeah, but when you had the chance, you went missing. These guys will talk to you about prosperity, but they won't talk to you about suffering. Want to talk about suffering? The guy that's over this church, my spiritual father, Rodney Howard Brown, went to prison for keeping his church open. Let me tell you how suffering and prosperity, two things can happen at once. I don't believe in eating. I believe in breathing. You can do both, and you need to do both. What happened when Pastor Rodney kept his church open? He was arrested. He was disgraced. They did a news conference and had the sheriff tell what a vile human being he is for exposing his people to death and not caring. Then they had a pastor illegally, which is why they've let him do whatever he wants for 3 years, because he could sue the city till it was named Rodney Bay, Florida. Because you can't have, before a guy's had a trial, you can't have a pastor come up on invitation of the city and tell why this pastor's a bad pastor. It's an open and shut defamation lawsuit, and they got some sellout pastor to tell how he's actually not a real pastor, that the message of the gospel is to mask up, stay home, and save lives. He's a bad man. They put him all over the news. He was the worst person. He told me, you're the only person, me, that returns my text messages and my phone calls the last 2 weeks. Everybody went missing because he was reviled. But when you're willing to pay the suffering price for the right thing, how did the story end? Did he lose his church? Nobody wants to talk to him? Or did he come out 2 weeks later and the church double in size and a new building go up in 10 days and the money triple? Because yes, there is suffering. But when the devil starts messing, God starts blessing. You never focus on the suffering. Focus on the reward that's yours on the other side. And I tell every one of you today, there is a reward on the other side that you're going to get. 2024 is your time of reward. Go ahead, take 15 seconds, clap your hands. Shout unto God. I don't believe in prosperity. Did you walk to church? It's not that you don't believe in prosperity, it's that you're an unthankful degenerate. I don't believe in prosperity. What do you got on your feet? Are those shoes? Because not everybody has those, you know. People should travel a little bit. People should come where I've gone, where you meet people that lost their leg for believing in Jesus Christ. Beaten by police officers till the bone was emulsified. Then they cut the leg off. And I believe in prosperity. Oh, yeah. Got a heated seat vehicle, which I do too. But I'm not stupid enough to have all that stuff and go around telling people I don't believe in prosperity. God gave me everything I have, including this building and these chairs and this microphone. The devil didn't give it to me. My own ability didn't give it to me. God gave it to me. So then what are you going to say? Because you can't tell me that prosperity is not in the Bible. I just showed you it there, and I could show you about 1,000 more verses on it if you'd like. Not that you got to interpret that it says. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Let me angrily read this. You foul spirit, because I'm telling you, I'm preaching this because I can feel this communist spirit trying to make its way into America. It's why they can't get young people to work jobs and stuff. They're trying to get people to hate wealth and hate people who have wealth and hate people that have businesses. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to come to this church and you're going to let the world educate you and watch TV and let NBC News and CBS News and CNN tell you how to think and how to live and how people should live, you're not going to mesh here. You can't let the world program you all week, then show up at church. Your mind has to be washed and renewed by the water of the Word of God. I don't let heathen people tell me how to think. I have a renewed mind. I'm a covenant man, and I'm blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. I don't believe in prosperity. Okay, listen to this. Clean the wax out of your ears and listen. Deuteronomy 28:1. If you fully obey the Lord your God, everybody say, fully obey. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I am.
I am.
Yeah, you're not in church on Sunday morning. You're in church on Saturday night. Fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all his commands that I'm giving you. The Lord will punish you with sickness and prison and poverty. You think I'm not willing to go to prison? I've tried extremely hard to go to prison. I'm not joking around. I've done everything I can. Every weekend from 2020 through 2021, just so you know, the Department of Health said if you have church, they're going to come and arrest you. I grew out a mullet to be ready to go to prison, to have a prison haircut. Did I or did I not? These idiots that think that people who preach on prosperity don't understand suffering. Yeah. Was Isaac persecuted? Abraham's son? Yes, he was. Did they kick him off his land? Yes, they did. Did they seize his wells? Yes, they did. But how did it end? With him penniless, no wells and no land? Or did the Lord give him a place called Rehoboth, where he said, at last, the Lord has given us space to prosper in the land? And the enemies came back and said, we can clearly see that the Lord is with you. Please forgive us. Life doesn't finish how it started. The devil might take the first swing, but God gives you the strength to punch back and everything he said you won't get.
Continuing with tonight's reading.
If you keep my commands, you'll be very low. There'll be no reward for you here on the earth. There's a guy that wrote me on Twitter, and he likes me. I don't know if he still likes me, but he did like me. And he wrote, because I was writing something about doing big things for God. Let me just get the whole thing out tonight. This church is into doing big things for God.
I mean, now whether it's a little group or a big group.
No, we don't do that. We might start little, but nothing with God can stay small. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn on the ear.
30, 60, and 100 fold. God is into multiplication. It's not where you start. Don't despise the day of small beginnings, but you don't have to stay at the day of small beginnings. I see you rising higher in the name of Jesus Christ. Somebody say, I'm coming up higher. All I'd have to do, see, I don't whine like a little female dog from the pulpit. I don't know what you're thinking. I said female dog. To the pure, all things are pure. I don't get up and whine. I don't tell you stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Papers with people trying to get us to back down, have smaller groups, move back. If I wanted all that to go away, all that I had to do is move back to our little building, little itty-bitty building in Broadhead. Maybe we could move to the Marriott by the airport and rent out that room. Seats 400, that's decent size. All the problem comes from getting big. Then when you go to get big, the enemy tries to push you back in your place. But I've got news for the devil. If he thinks you're too big now, he should wait to see you by December 31st, because this is the year that the righteous shall possess the land and dwell therein forever. I see you coming up higher in Jesus' mighty name. Say it so the devil can hear you. I will come up higher. If you fully keep the commands I'm giving you today, the Lord will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings. What did he say happens if you obey the Bible? You go down or up? I don't care what happens this week. Get your eyes on the long term. Rodney went to jail. He didn't stay in jail. If he went for 5 years, watch what would happen when he got out. Life, the devil does not have the capacity to write the final destiny of your life. Your brothers can sell you into slavery. When you're a slave, doing everything you can the right way. The slave owner's wife could accuse you of rape, like Joseph. Then put you in prison. Convicted rapist, even though you never did one thing wrong. But then the time comes where it moves and the word of the Lord is fulfilled. And you go to jail, you go to bed in jail one night. And you wake up, you go to bed the next night. In the presidential palace, as prime minister appointed by Pharaoh over the whole nation. The devil might have landed a punch in the beginning, but he doesn't get to decide the end of your life. Unless, everybody say unless. Unless you make the mistake of when you're going through that time, start to develop your theology around what's happening. You know, it's hard. I know that Jonathan preaches about blessing. I've been in the ministry for over 8 months. I haven't had anyone give me a jet. And so you start, and I haven't had that. So you either have to say it's not in the Bible, which you can't say, or the next argument is, yes, God blesses some people, but he doesn't bless everyone. Some of us will be blessed here. Others of us will only receive the blessing when we get to heaven. Some of us will be healed here. Others of us will only see the healing when we get to heaven. That's a cop-out, because you're going to notice the people that go to the top all take similar actions. And the people that don't all take similar actions. They quit along the way. They compromise. They allow themselves to get discouraged and speak discouragement. Now, let me tell you something. Discouragement can come to anybody and will. When it does, you never let it reside in your heart. And you definitely never let it come out of your mouth. Because death and life is in the power of the... When David, a man after God's own heart, was in the worst shape of his life. He didn't speak, I've been serving God best I can. Now look what happened. The Bible says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And he called for the priestly ephod. And he danced before the Lord with all his might. When the devil starts messing with you and messing with your mind and making sure news gets your way, that's not the time to duck your head. That's the time to lift up holy hands unto God and say, I know you've made a way for me where there is no way. I'm not going down. I'm going up in Jesus' name. Somebody shout hallelujah. If you serve the Lord, I will set you on high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all these blessings if you obey the Lord your God. You'll what all these blessings? Experience means now, in like touch, have real blessings. I don't fly on a ghost imaginary plane. I fly on a real plane that just finished getting serviced. The owner just texted me before service. All the pictures, they just paid. He took it this week that I wasn't preaching to do maintenance on it. Had some help washing the Falcon today. It's his grandson. She's all ready for you. Blessings, sir. I wrote, I'll never properly express the depth of my gratitude. Thank you. It's our honor and privilege. Blessing. Got it fixed. Sending it back washed. That's real. That's a blessing. Hey, it's John. You know what I had to hear when I was in my 20s? You can still tell I'm not over it. See, because I was preaching it without, I didn't have it. You don't have it and then speak it. You call those things that are not as though they are. I should pull up on YouTube some of the crazy things that I was saying in my 20s preaching with people. Like, you're nuts. This guy's overboard on faith. I said one day, because I was preaching out of Psalm 37, just start saying what the Bible says. The righteous will possess the land. I said when I was 31, one day they'll have to have meetings at the Pennsylvania state government level about how much acreage one nonprofit is allowed to own in the state. I said, because the Bible says the righteous will possess the land. Then I'd have like the pastor come up to me after. I heard you say that about the land. Where do you live right now? I'm in an apartment that I'm 10 days behind my payment on. Oh, so you think you're going to have so much land they have to have meetings about, you can't even afford your apartment. See, that's the devil. He wants you to think about where you are now. But when you open this book, you don't see where you are now. You see where you're going. I got a picture out of this book about who I was and who God said I could be and where I was headed. And I got drunk on it, intoxicated with it. That I'm not where I'm at right now, with an unregistered car and a cracked windshield and bald tires and a negative bank account. That's where I'm at right now, but that's not where I'm going. He said if I obey him, he will set me far above all the nations of the world, and the heathen will see it and call it blessed. I came to tell you in this communion service, every work of the devil trying to get you to lower your eyes as to where you are now, in the name of Jesus, receive the spirit of faith that I'm not staying where I'm at. I'm coming up higher in Jesus' mighty name. Say it again. I'm coming up higher. You will experience. It means I can have it. Have it now. Everybody say have it now. Not in heaven. Now. I don't need a plane in heaven. I can go wherever I want by thought. Jet's not important to me. That's how losers talk. Just admit that you sold out. I'm talking to preachers, not you. Not everybody needs a jet. I don't need one. But you know what? I was telling my dad driving here. You know what I'm going to do with that jet this week? I leave Sunday after church. Meeting's over Friday. In the old days, I wouldn't be here tonight. I'd be on my way to my meeting in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Then, when the meeting ended Friday night, I'd take all day Saturday to come home and be home Saturday for dinner. This time, I told the Lord, if you gave me that jet and don't want me to fly it, you're going to be greatly disappointed. I have a feeling when God gives you a coat of many colors, it's to wear. When he gives you a plane, it's to fly, not park it in the hangar. I'm going Sunday after church to Lancaster to preach. I have a partner's banquet Tuesday afternoon, and I'm preaching 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. After the partner's banquet, I'm going to fly home. It's a 38-minute flight. I'll be home. I'll be at my house an hour after the meeting finishes. And then I'm meeting Adonis for lunch. She cleared her schedule because she works hard all day doing church stuff. She cleared it. We're going to have lunch. Camila's going to be home from school at 3:45. We're going to have dinner together. Then I'll leave for that night service. I'll leave my house at 6:30 to go preach at 7 o'clock, and I'll be done. I'll be there about a song before praise and worship ends. And so now, instead of not seeing my family for 7 days, I'll see them Sunday, I'll see them Wednesday, and I'll see them Friday night. Church gets over at 10:30. I'll be in my house at 11:15. So instead of being without them 7 days, it's only Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday that I won't see them. And if people want to, you think I'm going to let some Instagram commenter make me not do that? You should make up your mind tonight that other people's opinions don't matter. My family matters. My last name matters. The church of God matters. The kingdom of God matters. I'm not lowering my expectations based on what the world and some communist indoctrinated New York University graduate thinks. I'm going to have what God said I can have. I'm going to do what God said I can do in Jesus' mighty name. If you make that decision tonight, take 30 full seconds. Clap your hands, all ye people. I'm going to have it God's way. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to stick it to the devil. Come on, make some noise in here. Say it out loud. The righteous shall possess the land. I'm going to tell you right now, the devil can feel it coming. He can feel the wealth of the wicked that's laid up for the just changing hands. Just like the silver and gold left Egypt's hands and went into his children's hands. He can feel it. That's why they're yelling on TV. That's why they're angry. But the momentum is not with the wicked. The momentum's against the wicked. And if you'll get your sail in the right direction, my friend, you will sail further in the next 9 months than you did in the first 40 years. This is our time. This is the time to leave Egypt and go in to Canaan's fair land. So rejoice and be glad, for the Lord has given you the victory. Say it out loud. Set me on high. Above all nations of the world. You can be seated. That's 7:48. I'll close soon. You'll experience. You. That means me. How many of you? Not all of us. No. Look. How can you, do you not read? I was in Bible school. I'm telling you, it's a religious disease. It's a religious cancer of the frontal lobe to explain away what the Bible clearly says. How many of you were here at the prayer meeting where we had 31 people and I told you we're going to hit 1,000 very soon? Sounds insane, but I've been saying insane stuff for 15 years, so it doesn't matter to me. You know how I knew? Because the Bible says, Isaiah 2:2, the Bible says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be exalted the highest above all hills. People from all nations will flow into it. 10 Gentiles will cling to the hem of one Jew and say, come and teach us the name of your God and how to walk in his ways. I knew where I was going. I knew where this church was going. God had called me some, what did God give me some assignment to just waste my time? Be faithful. Just be faithful. Faithfulness produces fruitfulness. Being faithful to the commands of God produces a harvest. You told people that there's no reward for serving me. So now the arrogant are rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Because I had it for you, and you said it's not important. You were bad-mouthing me. So now the wealth's not going to lay out in the street, my friend. If the Christians don't want it, then the world will have it. And people that hate you and hate your children and hate your family and hate your God will write your laws for you while you comment on Facebook about it. They froze my account. Who cares if they open it? No one reads what you write anyway. You have no influence. You're a complainer. You forfeited your place of influence to just be some. You know what the Bible says? Nothing changes. Exodus chapter 3. The Bible says that the children of God were put in slavery and they complained under their harsh treatment. Nothing happened when they complained. Then the time hit where they had enough complaining and they cried out to God to deliver them. And the Lord heard their cry, remembered his covenant, and decided it was time to act. God, I've been serving you. It's hard driving all these places. I don't have enough money to get my car fixed. That doesn't get anything done. You complaining doesn't do anything. But when you find it in the Bible, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Blessed in the city, blessed in the field. Blessed when I come in and blessed when I go out. I'm not staying where I'm at. There's actually not even any prayer required. Just start thanking God. Thank you that I'm coming up higher. Why do you think we've been singing that song during prayer and fasting every night? I will come up higher. Get that song ready for tonight. I will come up higher. I'll fix my eyes far above the clouds. I'm not staying where I'm at. Hallelujah. This church is going to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. And when they're having meetings about trying to get it to stop, it'll double before the meeting's over. Because we're anointed to grow. I'm not backing down. You can react however you want to react. I'm going to have what God says I have. I'm going to do what God said I can do. I'm not doing things at an acceptable level. I'm going to do it at a kingdom level to glorify my God. It's not selfish ambition. When you operate like that, it gives people an opportunity to glorify God. Now, let me tell you something. When our church... We may never have a final church, because if the thing keeps growing, there should never be a final church. But the building is going to be a building that makes people just looking at the churches that don't know anything about any religions go, I think their God is the top one. Just looking at their structures, whoever they're worshiping seems like he's in business. Can you say amen? Give you the ability to glorify God, big things. Whether you like him or not, every one of you knows who Joel Osteen is because he's big. His father decided to build a big church. And when one of the guys on the Houston, Texas City Council said, you'll get the Rockets building over my dead body, and then he died, and the other people became very agreeable. He didn't say, guys, they said that we can't have it over their dead body. He stood. It was a stand. Having done all to do, therefore, stand. Don't back up. Don't make plans to go backwards, ever. It's unscriptural. God, thanks for breaking us out. There's a Red Sea here. Guess the show's over, and the army's chasing us. Why are you crying out unto me? Stretch forth your hand, Exodus 14, 15, and divide the water. Every obstacle that's been placed in front of you that is against God's commandment to grow and multiply has to get out of your way by divine command. When you move forward, see people, remember John G. Lake's quote that I keep quoting? Men often use prayer as a refuge to dodge the action of faith. Men often use prayer as a refuge to dodge the action of faith. Let me see, is this mic still on? Evangelist Tim, just stand up if you would. Just give me an example of when you were preaching in Papua New Guinea or wherever else, and you wanted to pray for somebody that was sick, but the Lord gave you an action that you were even thinking in your head, man, this is not going to look good if this doesn't work out. An action that worked the miracle.
I have a situation that I was just thinking.
Go.
We went down to a place in Papua New Guinea. We were on the island of Bougainville, and it was a civil war. And they said to us, would you go down? This is not a healing, but it's a miracle, Reverend.
That's fine with me.
This pillar hides us, isn't it? We went down to this area, and it was a civil war. So when we got there, they'd been fighting for 25 years. There'd been no crusades. Nothing had happened there. And we arrived down there. Bullet holes through the walls, no running water, no electricity, and the place was a shambles. No crusade meetings had happened in all that time, to my knowledge. We went down to a place right down near Buka. Now, Buka is right down, for those that know World War II history, that's where Yamamoto's plane was shot down by the U.S. Air Force, and his plane landed right there. And his body's buried right there, shot down by P-38s, I believe. And when we got down there, it was all military. The place was shut down by the military to a great degree. Sandbags, soldiers everywhere. And we went to preach, and I had to check the platform. When you're fractionally bigger than most, you got to check that you're not going to fall through the platform. So I got up on the platform and I walked across that platform, just checking it, really. And as I was doing that, an officer, fairly high-ranking Papua New Guinean officer, came up to me And he said, "You are not preaching here tonight." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "The security vehicle was stolen at gunpoint today from this platform. And if you, until we get that vehicle back, you're not preaching. You cannot use this place." And I thought, oh, this is bad. Then the Holy Ghost rose up. Then the Holy Ghost rose up on the inside. And I said to him, "No, that's not what's happening." I said, "I will be preaching here tonight." And I said, "Beyond that, sir, most of your men are backslidden and need God, and you know that. You probably are yourself. And so not only are we preaching tonight, but we are roping off that whole section for you and your men to come tonight. We expect you here. The meeting's at 7:30. Bring your men." And they did. And they got saved. And if I had laid down, we wouldn't have had the meetings. And it seems like when you stand up and you get back into the face of the devil, and it's the same with sickness and disease. We had a meeting one night. I'll tell this story. Where's the boss?
Tell it. I want you to tell it. I trust.
We were in Vanuatu, and I had a team of 100, I think, with us. And I remember this night, God spoke to me and said, "Get the deaf people on the platform." We had 36 deaf lined up across the platform. Three of them were deaf and mute. And I looked at the line and I said, "Okay, let's go for this." We had everybody watching and I thought, man, I've stepped out on the water here. This is the test. And I got to the first guy, and Phil, who's my armor bearer, he'll tell you the story that I looked at this first guy and I began to take authority over a deaf spirit and nothing was happening. If you're in a Holy Ghost meeting, a healing meeting, and you've got a situation where you've said we're going to get the deaf healed, and you get to the first one and nothing's happening, you've got a lot of trouble. And so I start to get mad, and I was getting furious in the spirit, and nothing seemed to be moving, and I was telling that devil, "Phil, I tell you, my eyes are coming out of my head." And that someone was going to give way. And in faith, someone is always going to give way. Either we will or the devil will. And it's that persistent standing over, standing strongly, that gets you through. And I remember that sudden click and that guy's ears open. And then I got to the next one and it was easy. And I turned to one of our team and I said, he's a Texan guy. I said, "Tucker, do you believe that God can open this girl's ears?" He said, "Yes, Pastor." I said, "Well, get up here." And she got healed. And then I grabbed our team, one after another, went down the line, 36 hearing and 3 mutes speaking. Simply, when it comes to that point where you either push that little bit harder or you back off, never give up on the edge of the miracle. Take a deep breath, drive one step harder, and the devil will give way.
Evangelist Tim, before you're seated, I want everybody in the seats to lift your hands. Everybody's watching online, lift your hands. I want you to impart by prayer the gift of faith. What you were just talking about, that when others, when 99 out of 100 would back down and say, "We're not having the meeting," or "Stop praying for the deaf," what it takes in your spirit to punch forward in faith. I want you to pray that into the people in Jesus' name.
The tenacity of spirit to just dig that bit deeper. To not let go. Jacob had it. "I won't let you go till you bless me." It's the step that not many Christians are willing to take. But this church is. Father, we are not called to half believe. We're not called to go halfway. But you're raising a generation right now with a desperation that won't be stopped. a passion in the spirit to break into realms that the devil says you can't come. And right now in this building, I pray that right down deep in every person, something will stir. Something will begin to break loose in every life here right now. A tenacity that says, my family are going to be saved. A tenacity that says, I will fulfill my destiny. That I will break into that realm of the miraculous that seems to hold off. Father, in the name of Jesus, would you impart something now? Would you release? I'm going to ask you to do something. I want you to stand for a moment. God's going to release something, but I want you, when I count to three, and the power of God is going to come all over this place like a holy wave. Oh God, God's stirring my heart tonight, and I know something's happening here. When I count to three, in Jesus' name, Father, you're going to impart something to us. There's a seizing hold, and as you shout, I want you to seize that thing that's been just out of reach. I want you to seize that thing that you haven't been able to grab. I want you to seize that thing that seems to resist you over and over and over. That thing that even now is like a force of resistance. As you shout, I want you to see it come down. I want you to feel something break in your own spirit. It's a shout of absolute triumph and seizing, and something's going to be imparted. Don't stop shouting until you know the thing's busted. Don't stop. Are you ready? One, take a deep breath. Two, three. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Jesus' name, 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 Jesus' name.
Give the Lord a great hand clap and shout one more time. Come on, give Jesus a great hand clap and shout. Say it one more time, I will come up higher. Be seated briefly. You can keep playing, Brother Tony. I'm about done. Psalm 37, 1. Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they'll soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they will soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Everybody say prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he'll meet all your needs. Nope. He'll what? Isn't that a need, brother? Is that a want? It doesn't matter. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. He's given me the desires of my heart. You know what my number one desire is? I'm not saying this to sound holy or spiritual. Is to have a massive, impactful church in the United States of America. That politicians in back rooms have to say, we'd like to pass that, but how will that church react if we do that? I'm talking on a national level. A church that swings the country. That is the spiritual principality in that nation. That is the supreme desire of my heart. Five, commit everything you do to the Lord. How many of you have committed everything you do to the Lord? Now, you can't say you do that and then refuse to tithe. I'll give everything I have to the Lord, except I won't give 10%. You know, I always felt like I was getting a deal on tithing because he said to commit everything, but then he only asked you for 10%. And if he said 100%, then I'd have 100% of what I have every week. I'd bring it. Whatever the Bible says, I'm doing it. I have no ability to sustain anything that I'm doing. My whole life is in God's hands. My health is in God's hands. Everything's in God's hands. So whatever he wants. See, that's the problem is when you feel like, you know, no, he's asking a lot because I'm, it's all him. Six, he'll make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed. That's what the Bible says. Not sinners. There's a difference in the Bible between sinners and wicked. Sinners are people. Somebody that has a heroin problem is a sinner. Somebody that is making sure heroin gets pumped into the country to kill that person for profit is a wicked person. This year, you've already seen it in the first 3 months, but it's going to be more pronounced these last 9 months. You are going to see a judgment come upon people that have made up their mind to sell this country out for money and to trade human lives for profit. Whether it's the human trafficking going on at the southern border, more is going to get exposed. It's going to be a bad 9 months to be wicked and a great 9 months to be righteous in Jesus' name. For those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you look for them, they'll be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. How many of you have seen any of the reports that have come out or about to come out about major ministers that have committed grievous sin, and it's all recorded, it's about to come out, and they're about to lose their whole ministries? I told you that was going to happen in January, and there's going to be more of that. I'm glad when the Puff Daddy stuff gets released, I don't have to worry about whether I partied with him or not. I haven't partied with anybody. Last party I was at a Chuck E. Cheese when I was 7. I haven't partied with any famous people or any non-famous people. Just stayed home. Can you say amen? The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity. The lowly, humble, before God, that's what lowly means, will possess the land. There's land ownership again. And they'll live in peace. And what's the other thing they'll live in? The wicked plot against, by the way, there is no way to take a Bible stance or definition of prosperity. You cannot biblically define prosperity without including silver, gold, livestock. How many of you have seen Pastor Rodney get like 300 cows shipped to him? It's a Bible law. My cousin Teddy went up and preached to Montana, and a guy gave him 2 cows and gave him acreage and raises the cows for him, and they have babies. My cousin became an accidental rancher. Rodney became an accidental, he's gonna be like the only South African Floridian cattle rancher. That's how strong the word is. Can you say amen? You're not out looking for blessing. Blessing comes looking for you. That's gonna be the last 9 months of this year. You're not out trying to make things happen. The blessing of the Lord will pursue and overtake you in accordance with the word. Somebody say, I believe the word. Verse 12, the wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. But the Lord just laughs. What's the Lord doing? I believe that God's in heaven right now and he's very angry. Well, you're wrong. You're angry. He's laughing. Don't project your problems on God. You think God's up in heaven wringing his hands about what the Democrats are planning? I don't know. If this law goes through, what are we going to do, Jesus? Everybody say, the Lord laughs. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. But their swords will stab their own hearts and their bows will be broken. That's what the Bible says. It's better to be godly and have little than to be evil and be rich. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly. Day by day, the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they'll receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They'll not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine, they'll have more than enough. I believe that they're tampering with the food supply and that a famine's going to come on America. Well, don't worry about it, because the Bible says even in famine, you'll have more than enough. But the wicked will die. Praise God. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They'll disappear like smoke. The wicked borrow and never repay, but the godly are generous givers.
Those the Lord blesses will possess the land. Those he curses will die. Everybody say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life. Though they stumble, they'll never fall. For the Lord holds them by his strong right hand. You know, someone, we were just in Florida. I just want to tell this. You know, I probably shouldn't tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. You know, I've told her how my daughter's a giver, and you know, she loves the Lord and all that. Somebody gave her the same passes for Disney that like Tom Cruise's kids get. She had a private entrance. She wasn't in the fast pass lane. They assigned a Disney guide that walks her to the front of the line. They did every ride in three parks in one day. Just walk right in and get on. Special restaurants that only she has access to. You can't, I'm very big on having logical explanations for things. You know, I would talk to preachers when I was growing up. How'd you get a church that big? The Lord did it. Okay, praise the Lord. Now tell me, how did you get a church that big? You know, how? Where did the financing come from? How'd you get the permits? Let's talk facts. But then stuff happens like that. There's no way to explain it. I didn't have a Disney executive get saved in one of my meetings. I never led Mickey Mouse into the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I never pulled Donald Duck out of a wheelchair. And when have you ever heard me, like, you know, my daughter's always wanted to have VIP passes to Disney. I pray one day that, I never mention any of that. Never whine. Never make anybody aware of needs or wants we have. Ever. The Lord cares about, what did the Bible say? The Lord delights in every detail of your life. Now, if God would do that for an 11-year-old who loves him, and you have like actual things, you think God doesn't care about you? Remember that video I always play of my Uncle Ted praying for that lady with the messed up back? And she says at the end, after she gets healed, I thought God had forgotten about me. See, that's what the devil wants. He wants, yeah, this stuff's on the Bible and these people are all being blessed, but then you, you're different. He forgot about you. Everybody say, I'm not different. I'm one of God's children. And he cares about me. There was a lady that came to this church in the first year and she asked if she could have a meeting with me. So back then I had meetings with people. So I met with her and she said, I don't like what you say. You need to understand something. And she talked to me about systemic racism in America and how that keeps people down. I said, no, I don't have to understand that. I said, let me ask you a question, because she was a Christian. I said, do you believe systemic racism is more powerful than your covenant blessing that comes from serving the Lord? She was quiet, because I have you. Well, it is, but what? You can't be more systemically racist than Egypt was. The Bible says in a verse that the Egyptians hated Hebrews. Not they didn't like them that much. The Egyptians hated Hebrews. But when Pharaoh wanted his dream interpreted and they called Joseph up, he didn't say, get this Hebrew out of my presence. Joseph solved his problem and he said, you, my friend, are now going to be in charge of all of Egypt. Only I will be over you. The covenant of God will destroy every barrier that's keeping you from the top. It works for black people. It works for Hebrews. It works for Scottish people. It works for Irish people. It works for Puerto Rican, Dominican, Mexican. You can't curse who God has blessed. And I call you blessed. In Jesus' name. Once I was young, and now I'm old. Yet I've never seen the godly forsaken. I've never seen his seed begging for bread. The godly always give generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing. Everybody say, my children are a blessing. Turn from evil and do good, and you will live in the land forever. For the Lord loves justice. He will never abandon the godly. He will keep them safe forever, but the children of the wicked will die. The righteous shall possess the land and will dwell therein forever. That's our theme for these 2 years. It'll probably be the theme for next year. Say, the righteous will possess the land. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. They've made God's law their own, so they'll never slip from his path. Everybody say they've made God's law their own law. Me and Abraham, back when we would charter jets, before we were given one, one of the guys that flew us all the time, he said, you people don't do anything. You know what he meant? We have alcohol. No thanks. We have, then they just see, we're on there sober. There's no women coming on. All the stuff other people use the plane for. We were just there asleep in separate parts of the plane. Me and Abraham never cuddled one time. He kept asking, and I was like, no, and if you ask again, you're not going to work here. I'm not doing it. I'm not going to tell you again, Abraham. Everybody say they've made God's law their own law. I'm not snuggling with you. I know you miss Ghana, but I'm not the solution. Put your hope in the Lord. Oh, sorry. The wicked wait in ambush for the godly, looking for an excuse to kill them. 32. But the Lord won't let the wicked succeed. There is actually a spiritual law up until the rapture. The wicked cannot cross a certain line. That's why it seems like all these laws, central bank digital currency, it's like, then they make a DEI. Because it's not time for that. They can make plans, but they're not allowed to succeed. Can you say amen? 35, I've seen wicked and ruthless people flourishing like a tree in its native soil. But when I looked again, they were gone. Though I searched for them, I couldn't find them. Look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in time of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them. And they find shelter in him. Just lift your hands in your seats and begin to thank God that all those things that the word says are true over your life. You're doing a good job mumbling to the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for delighting in every detail of my life. Thank you for dashing every plot against my life into a million pieces. Thank you for upholding me with your strong right hand. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the righteous shall possess the land and will dwell therein forever. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Now, I started to say this a little while ago. Mark 16:15. Jesus told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. These miraculous signs will follow them that believe. They will lay their hands on the sick. Mark 16:18. They will lay their hands on the sick and the sick will be healed. So I was in Bible college and this professor goes, he would say it like every once in a while. And then about the third time I had enough. I was 18 or 19. Don't you kids graduate from this Bible college and go laying your hands on sick people and expecting them to get healed, because a lot of times they won't, and it's going to create a lot of confusion amongst people. So I lifted my hand and I opened it there and I said, Jesus, you know, who you may have heard of at one point in seminary, Jesus said that when we preach, we're to lay our hands on the sick and they'll recover. But just to be clear, you would like us to listen to you instead of Christ? Jonathan, get your stuff and get out of here. Okay, I will, but it doesn't change what's written. No problem. So it's a double blessing. I didn't have to listen to him anymore, and I went and played Madden 2002. And nothing's changed. People take the clear things the Bible says and want you to believe what they... Now, I know it says that, but what? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you to countermand what Christ said? Who? Please tell me who you are. See, and then when you do that, people think you're out of line. But actually, I don't think God doesn't feel that way. I don't think God... I noticed Jesus... Turn to Acts 7. I'm going to leave you alone in a second. Let me read you one more scripture. Acts 7. This is Stephen addressing the religious council. Acts 7:51. Put it up in the King James if you would. Acts 7:51. Follow me in the King James. I'm reading it in the New Living. You stubborn people. You're heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Will you never stop, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears? You always did resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did before you.
You know, it's not that what Stephen said was wrong, but he didn't have to say it like that. You know, you don't have to say it like that.
Okay, let's see what the reaction is. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. Let me read in King James. This one softens it up. 52. Which one of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And have they slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers? 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels, but haven't kept it? 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. 56. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of God, Son of Man, standing at the right hand of God. Tough scripture if you're a Unitarian. They then cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They charged him and cast him out of the city and stoned him to death. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. What was Jesus' reaction to his speech?
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't have said that.
And Jesus stood. Good speech.
I don't think you have to talk like that.
How come the wicked are allowed to talk and say whatever they want and then we're not supposed to respond? I got something to say. They had something to say in the early church. Peter and John said, do you think we would obey you rather? I mean, they mouthed off left and right. Paul said to the high priest, they had him slapped, and he said, may God slap you, you whitewashed tomb. That's what Paul said. That's what Stephen said, and that's what Peter and John said. So who taught us?
You got to be careful about how you phrase things.
You know, I'm just going to give this as an example. I'm not endorsing Donald Trump for president. I'm giving an example about how Christians think that need to change. You know, I just don't like the way Trump says a lot of things. What? What don't you like that he says? But then, you know, you hear people say, Biden's more of like a correct politician. So you're not offended at saying that children that want to change sex at birth, at 7 years old, that should be state-funded and the parents lose custody if they don't want to do that. That's okay speech. But then if somebody wants to talk against that or call him an idiot or whatever, that's a little too far. Who trained you? Why are the wicked allowed to run their mouth all day long? And if one Christian stands up and says something, he's too far. Was Jesus tight-lipped or loose-lipped? Oh, he let them have it. The cross was like the fifth time they went to kill him. Four times before that, they couldn't lay hands on him because his time was not yet. They hated him. See, that's why people think I'm too bold. I'm actually like a 3.5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Because I've had people storm out. I've had people not like what I said or write a letter. I've not had people pick up a chair and come at me. I wish they would. Read the Bible. The stuff they were saying in the way. You stiff-necked generation. Talking to the leaders that had the power to kill him. You stiff-necked generation, uncircumcised of heart and ear. You know why? Because circumcision was a sign of the covenant, the cutting away of the things that are unuseful so that you could, the cutting away. But it was a sign of what was supposed to be done in the heart and in the ear to hear the word of God and respond. He was saying, you're all circumcised, but all of your hearts and ears aren't circumcised. And they gnashed with their teeth and they ran at him and took him out of the city and bounced rocks off his head till he was dead. That happened to John Wesley, ran him out of the city. Early Pentecostal people, tarred and feathered. T.L. Osborne's tent burned to the ground in San Antonio.
If you're not making anybody mad, I'm not talking intentionally. I'm wearing a suit and tie, showered. What have I preached tonight? 7 unsolicited standing ovations? I'm not here knocking people. But don't tell me the devil can run his mouth. Turn to 1 Samuel 17. If you nodded your head more, I wouldn't use so many scriptures to back up my case. 1 Samuel 17. Sorry for all the Bible tonight. We'll cut down tomorrow morning. We'll turn into a regular church that uses like one verse and then has home groups during the week so you can actually hear some Bible. 1 Samuel 17. First Samuel 17:32. Don't worry about this Philistine, David told Saul. I got him. Don't be ridiculous, Saul replied. There's no way you can fight this Philistine and win. You're only a boy, and he's been a man of war since youth. So the psalmist that said, don't worry about the wicked, actually never was. This man's a very big man. Yeah, don't worry about him. I got him. Then after I kill him, I'm going to get every guy that's behind him. No, don't be ridiculous. You can't do that. Now look. Goliath walked out toward David and his shield bearer ahead of him, sneering in contempt at this ruddy-faced boy. Am I a dog? He sneered at David, that you come at me with a stick. And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals. David replied. Everybody say David replied. When the devil talks, talk back. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Look, what people call Christ-like, he's one of the most Christ-like men I know. You know what they mean? Submissive and weak and tight-lipped. Jesus was none of those things. Jesus was causing political upheaval by his sermons. Not just saying the word of God. Rome didn't like it. They didn't like how big the crowds were. Can you say amen? He's very Christ-like. No, effeminate is not Christ-like. Everybody say stand. I like the story. See, I had Evangelist Tim speak, so you know there's not one lunatic here. There's at least two. But he's 75. He's not 43. And you heard it, same thing. Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, Coriopolis, Texas, doesn't make a difference. Canada, it's the same devil. You're not having your meeting here tonight, Reverend, because there was an attack. What did he say? Okay, we love you, and we're going to bring a couple cases of bottled water by the police station. No. What'd they tell? No, I actually am preaching here, and I expect all your men to be here. And they nodded. You don't beat the contrary power by cowtailing to it. You beat it by challenging it. That sheriff that arrested Pastor Rodney came back and begged his forgiveness. Went back to the church. They forgive him publicly. People actually respect somebody that's bold in the face of the opposition. May that boldness tonight be imparted to you by the Holy Communion and never leave you in Jesus' mighty name. David replied, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of the armies of Israel, whom you've defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and then I'll cut off your head, just to let you know what kind of burial you're going to have. Then I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people, but not with sword and spear. This is the Lord's battle, and he'll give you to us. When the devil talks, talk back. David killed Goliath with his words before he ever took his head off. What you don't speak, you'll never have. A closed mouth is a closed destiny. Death and life is in the power of the... If Evangelist Tim, when they told him he wasn't going to have the meeting, just nodded his head, then went back and told the people and they prayed about it, nothing would happen. There's a time for prayer and there's a time to speak. How many of you, by the show of hands, and I'll quit whether you lift your hand or not, so don't lie. How many of you had the Lord churn something up in your spirit that you've allowed yourself to accept that something got lit on the inside of you that I'm not accepting that anymore. I'm going forward. Let me see your hand. Well, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do right now. This is a communion service. Number one, every head bowed, every eye closed. Jesus fed the multitudes, but he never served communion to the multitudes. He served communion to the disciples. You have to be one of his to receive communion. If you've never received Jesus Christ tonight, you want to come over to the winning side. I want to join myself with Jesus Christ. I don't want to live in opposition to the law of God. You see what it says. It's not like it's just you can be more blessed if you serve Christ. The wicked will die. The righteous will be blessed. It's, why would you pick the other side? Hard life, addiction, thoughts of suicide, panic attack. I don't have any of that. They're not in the blessing. I go to sleep when I want. I wake up when I want. I think thoughts that are nice. I'm not on any medication. And I never will be. You can have that. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ and you want to do that tonight, I want you to put your hand up high and we're going to pray together right now in Jesus' name. Check the others. I see you. Who else? I want to give my life to Jesus tonight. I'm not living half. I want to be all the way on the side of the covenant. Come, let's pray. Those of you that are watching online, let's pray as well in Jesus' name. Lift your other hand to the Lord. Say this, Heavenly Father, I give you my life. Uncompromised. Totally sold out to you. I turn my back on sin. I believe in my heart. You raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family. If you prayed that online, do what it says on the bottom of the screen, revivaltoday.com. Click, I just got saved. Fill that out completely. And wherever you are, I'm going to mail you a Bible and materials to help you live the Christian life. In Jesus' name. Now, today, when we take this communion, three things are going to happen. Number one, what happened when they took the Passover meal? The Egyptians took all their silver and all their gold and gave it to them. They had been working as slaves, and God kept records, and all the wealth they accumulated for the Egyptians, he made them turn it over. Number one, any held up monies in your business or you personally, there's been delay. My friend Tom that pastors in Venice, Florida, they had that hurricane. They had hurricane insurance paid up. They wouldn't pay it out. 2 years. That wicked holding back of what's due you, the Lord releases it to you upon the eating of this meal tonight. Number two, everybody say land acquisition. Say this, I'm not a borrower. I'm a lender. Bible says the righteous shall possess the land. It's anti-covenant to have to inhabit other people's land. When I came across that revelation, I was inhabiting. I only had things rented. So it's not, well, it's kind of, you see where you're supposed to be and where you are now, just say, okay, I'm here now, but now I know where I'm going. Can you say amen? Everybody say land acquisition. There are people here tonight that are renters that will be landlords by December 31st. Not only will you have your own place, you'll have other land to lease out to other people. From this, when we eat this meal, you shift like the Israelites did from tenants to landlords. You leave Egypt, other people's land, and you come into your own land in Jesus' name. Say it out loud. The righteous shall possess the land. And number three, a death blow to the plan of the enemy against your life. Whatever lawsuits or whatever is being manufactured, even if you haven't found that, anything that's been manufactured or is being manufactured against you and your business or your family right now to keep you from progressing. A lot of what's being done with lawsuits right now is just to eat at your money. To make it where, you know, well, it's not really worth it because they'll sue and you'll be tied up in court.
One of the blessings of being a tither is I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. So specifically, anything that's being used as a devourer in the legal realm to try to tie up your money or get you just in court for 3 years spending money for no reason, the Lord cuts the hand off of that devourer tonight. Every devourer has its hand cut off over the believer's life tonight in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. Now, we're going to do this. In the Bible, offerings precipitated release. So normally we receive an offering quickly at the end. I'm receiving one quickly at the end. We're not going to drag it out. I want you to give an offering of faith tonight and tie it to your faith when we receive the communion. I'm giving this to the Lord as an offering. This is my lamb I'm sacrificing for Passover. Now, not tonight, though some of you may receive it tonight. By Passover, in the spirit, by the end of April 30th, an end has come to every challenge. Every Goliath falls flat. Every Red Sea divides in Jesus' name. Every Pharaoh's army is drowned in that Red Sea. Whatever you were dealing with before today, you will not be dealing with it May 1st in Jesus' name. I said in Jesus' name. I said in the name of Jesus. Begin to lift your hands and thank God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for sharing the Jonathan Shuttlesworth podcast. If you're interested in supporting our mission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to our generation, please visit revivaltoday.com and click on Give Now to become one of our monthly partners. Thank you in advance. We hope to see you soon.